Good day, listeners. My name is Taylor McClure, and I am your host for CIDI's Daily News Show, and you are tuning in to Township's Daily News Bits. It's been 2 weeks, and I just have to say that while these last 2 weeks have been needed, I sure did miss you all. But I'm back, so why don't we get down to today's news, shall we? So before I went on vacation, I had the opportunity to speak with Scott Colby, who's the CEO of Upper Valley Connecticut Hospital, and Clark Rayner, who's the executive assistant. Over the last few months, Upper Valley Connecticut Hospital has been marketing certain services to townshippers and other Quebecers living on the other side of the border. Scott emphasized that the goal with marketing these services to Quebecers is to make people aware of the options that they have available to them when it comes to their health. With this in mind, we thought it would be important to inform our community as to what they're offering exactly, and why it was important for Upper Valley Connecticut Hospital to make people aware and to offer its services. We hope you enjoy our conversation.
Just like so many of our staff members here at the hospital will cross the border to visit family who live in the Eastern Townships, we know there's residents who live around Coaticook or further north in Sherbrooke who regularly come to the U.S. And so we know that Canadians are likely driving through Colebrook, whether they're vacationing in Portland, Maine, going shopping in North Conway, New Hampshire, getting on an international flight from Boston, as an example. To get there, they're likely driving through Colebrook. Many of them, for that reason, know where Colebrook is. And so keeping that in mind, it was important to us to be proactive about welcoming Canadian citizens, Canadian residents, to take advantages of all the services we have here at UCVH. Again, Upper Connecticut Valley Hospital, in Colebrook, New Hampshire. So primarily, Taylor, those services are things like lab tests, preventative health screenings, and also state-of-the-art diagnostic imaging. So over 200 services are available to research, to look at. They're available for purchase today on our website. And I can briefly go over some of the things we've been doing to prepare for more international patients. One of those things, which is something that's still in progress now or making it even better, is updating our website and the pages within our website to be bilingual. We have translated patient education handouts and related paperwork to be in French. We have French translators available 24/7 to conference into any phone call for something like scheduling when you call to our registration staff. We have iPads here on site for video conferencing with patients, with family members, so that there's a pretty seamless way of communicating once patients get here. And then my favorite thing is we've actually even ordered some flagpoles to display the Canadian flag and also the flag from Quebec. So that's the first thing people see driving up the hill to see our hospital. So in addition to all of that, one of the reasons we're getting some media attention lately is the anonymous survey that is available with the information that we mailed out to the Coaticook region, just to get more information about things like language preferences, what procedures, what services might be most popular. So that's in the stage we are now. We just want to learn more about where the need is, and that's where some of the research has come into play. Scott, you can jump in, though, for anything I'm forgetting as far as the why behind this program.
Yeah, sure. So Taylor, again, thanks for having us together this afternoon. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So if it weren't for the international border, right, there are regions of the Eastern Townships that would be part of our service area as we define it down here in the United States, right? Each hospital has its geographic service area. And so I took a look historically as to what type of outreach, if any, we would do up into Southern Quebec, into the Eastern Townships. And we really haven't focused on that. And what we recognized is that we're not trying to replace the Canadian health system, right? That's not the intent. What we're trying to do is build awareness of options. And what is referred to as medical tourism is quite common around the globe, actually, where patients are given the option of having services done at various locations. And we wanted to build some awareness around the services that this hospital offers and let people know that we're making it available to the residents of the Eastern Townships. You know, when we took a look at how to embark on this, we wanted to try to leverage technology. And And we recognize that technology can be a barrier for some. I'm one of those, right? But we partnered with a company called MD Save, and essentially it's an online marketplace where we worked with them and their expertise on consumerism. And we identified certain imaging studies like x-rays and MRIs and mammography in lab tests, colonoscopies, screening for colon cancer as an example, those types of procedures that can be scheduled that are not emergency procedures, but that patients may be interested in scheduling in our hospital and having their tests and their results maybe in a little more timely fashion. To give you an example, you can schedule a laboratory test within a day or two. For MRIs, you can schedule an MRI within 2 weeks and have that available. And those results are all posted on our electronic patient portal that all patients, regardless of where they reside, will have access to.
Okay, so it makes it really accessible for people. They don't have to jump through hoops to get their results or anything of the sorts.
That is correct. That is correct. They're going to be right online. All of the tests and the procedures ordered at our hospital will be validated by a local New Hampshire licensed provider. However, if somebody from the Eastern Townships wants to bring their order for the MRI from their local provider, from their local physician, by all means, they're welcome to do so. But our providers will be ordering those on their behalf as well.
Yes, I'm sure through your research, you also know that our healthcare system in here in Quebec is facing a lot of pressure right now as well. The lack of staff and the demand for services, was that something that you took into consideration as well when you thought about making people aware of this option?
Actually, with all honesty, I did not. What I took into consideration and what our hospital took into consideration is, and I said it a couple minutes ago, if it weren't for that international border, we'd be serving the people of that region anyway. And so we wanted to just make sure that people were aware that there are options down here. Now, you know, did it cross our mind that there may be wait times? Of course, right? But that really wasn't it. It was more to build awareness and to make sure that people were just very mindful of what's available and they have options. The quality of the healthcare, based on the research that I've personally done in your region, is excellent. Mm-hmm. It really is. You know, the University Hospital in Sherbrooke, for example, is rated very high.
Yes.
Your country. Mm-hmm. And you have a gem of a health system, as best I can tell there. Mm-hmm. We're very high quality as well. And I think consumers, because it, you know, in our part of the world, consumerism is a big deal, right? People have to pay and shop. And we want to make sure that people are aware that there are quality options south of the border. So one of the things that we've heard also is, but it's so expensive.
Yes, that was my next question.
In the U.S. Yeah, right. Well, it is. And the services that we're offering, and we understand, I don't want to speak for the experts in your area, but the services that we're offering, they are available in your healthcare system. But what we've done is we price the services on the side of the border at the same rate that we price them for people in the United States without insurance. So we have offered significant discounts that are extended to residents of New Hampshire and Vermont anyway. And now we're extending those very same discounts north of the border.
Okay. So there's no, like the exchange rate basically isn't taken into account when it involves these services.
It is not. And so that will be a little bit of a headwind. We understand that. But this is really offering that what we call a self-pay discount, just as it sounds, right? People who are paying themselves.
Are you able to give people an idea as to some of the services that you mentioned that will be available to them? Are you able to provide them some information as to some price estimates? I'm sure people are interested in hearing a little bit more about that and what they can expect if they do seek those services.
Yeah, we do. So actually, on our website, we have a link to this marketplace. It's called MD Save. And all of the prices on that website for Upper Connecticut Valley Hospital are an all-inclusive rate. So, for example, if you come for a colonoscopy, there are many components of billing for a colonoscopy, but we have one charge that covers all of the pieces. So we tried to simplify it for the patients who may be shopping on MDSave. And just as a note, this MDSave marketplace that we keep talking about, that's available to people in Canada, but it's also available to people in California. It's on the web and anybody can access it and purchase their services in advance and get a voucher.
To add to that, Taylor, for your listeners, that website would be ucvh.org/Quebec. And from that website, they'd be able to learn a little bit more about us. There's a link to over 200 services with full transparent pricing along with the online survey. So that very much is the best place to look for everything related to this initiative. Again, ucvh.org/Quebec.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And what I'm really curious about, because I had an editorial meeting and one of my fellow journalists asked me this, you know, you were saying how these services are available to Canadians and Canadians do go to the United States to seek out services from hospitals in the US. He wanted to know, is this available at every hospital? Is it like this for every hospital, or are there, how does it work there exactly? How does the system work there?
So they come in all sizes and shapes, right? So if an international visitor to the United States goes to any hospital, first and foremost, if it's for emergency care, the hospital must bring the patient in, stabilize them, and do an assessment. And you can't ask any questions about payment or anything. And okay. It's a regulation, all capitals, called EMTALA, E-M-T-A-L-A, right? So if anybody is traveling, vacationing in the United States and they have an emergency, you go to the nearest hospital and you worry about paying for that later. And presumably, Taylor, the Canadian health system recognizes emergencies and will help defer the cost of that for Canadian citizens. But as far as coming down to the United States and having some elective procedures done, each hospital handles it a little bit differently. But for most hospitals, you should be able to contact them, schedule something, and arrange for payment in advance. Okay. And that's typically how it works. So what's different that we're doing here? Well, first and foremost, we're trying to create an experience that bridges the culture and language gap that we enjoy, right? Mm-hmm. Enjoy, that might be the wrong word, that we have, mm-hmm. right? And so we're trying to make it as easy and comfortable as possible for our international guests from Canada to come down and have an experience that feels more like home. We're actually advertising. We're seeking their opinion through a very brief anonymous survey. What types of services would you come to the United States for? Would you even come to the United States for services? Right? How often do you come here anyway? Very brief survey so that we have a better understanding as to what some of the expectations and what some of the needs are. So we've created a structure, sort of a model to invite Canadians to come to our hospital, as opposed to many other hospitals that simply will take them as they come as walk-ins. Does that help?
Yes, yes. Because someone brought that up in my meeting. They were like, but I don't, this is nothing new. Like, people always go to the States for services. And I'm like, yes, but this hospital is actually reaching out to the community. I've never heard of hospitals actually marketing to a specific community and going out of their way to do like what you said, do research, do surveys.
You know, so one of the things we're doing, and again, we want people to feel welcome. And so many of your fellow citizens are bilingual, and I mm-hmm. applaud you. I wish I was, and I'm not, right? And I'm kind of embarrassed by that, you know, that I'm not, but it is what it is, right? But trying to make people feel welcome, right? And reaching out to them is really what this is all about, and trying to bridge that gap. We chose to start with services that are more, you might get at your annual physical, right? A cholesterol screening or a mammography or a colonoscopy, but not all of them are. MRI, you might have a knee injury and you don't want to wait. So you can come down and you can have an MRI done as well. We're doing that to introduce the services that we offer here to your market. Our surgeon, Dr. Tamsin Durand, is actually a native. She grew up in Montreal. But Dr. Durand is also interested in after we launch this and work some of the kinks out, because there'll be a few bugs along the way, maybe hernia repairs or maybe gallbladder removals, things that need to be done but really aren't emergencies. And so we may offer a breadth of services. Upper Connecticut Valley Hospital is a small hospital by comparison. We do about 4,000 emergency department visits a year, about 150,000 lab tests a year, about 8,000 different imaging studies a year. We have state-of-the-art equipment. We've made significant financial investments in this hospital. Quality is constantly job one for us, focusing on patient outcomes and experience. But we've invested probably, since I've been here 7 years, about $17 million in this facility. And we're finishing up with a new operating room, recovery room, if you will, for our patients. One of the other things that we did, and this was just, it was around the time of the pandemic, is we created a virtual tour on our website. So having the virtual tour as well, really, I think, helps patients. Again, it's one of the things we can do to welcome people. Mm-hmm. Well, you're not familiar with Colebrook or our hospital. But if you're going to come down, maybe you could take a quick tour and look at it and be like, okay, I see. And you can start to visualize where you're going to have your care delivered. Yeah. And I think that's important.
You provided such great information, Scott and Clark. I really appreciate it. I guess my final question, someone asked me this today, is, you know, if people are made aware of this and people are marketing this, they were wondering, you know, does this kind of create a two-tiered healthcare system here in the province? Because we do have free healthcare, right? So I wasn't sure if you wanted to perhaps comment on that.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. And that question has been asked, and that was never our intent. Our intent is very simple, to provide an option for people. And that really is the intent. Again, we're not trying, but we have priced this the same way we price it for people in this country who don't have insurance, who come in and have self-pay. So we are pricing it the same way. This is an option. We're trying to build awareness of the options that are available. And we believe that the people have to make their own choice. Yes. As I said a few minutes ago, you have excellent quality healthcare. This option in New Hampshire isn't going to be for everybody, but there may be some people who want to take advantage of it. And those are the people that we're trying to target.
Yeah, it kind of gives people more autonomy over making choices for their health, basically. Provides them more avenues.
Exactly. Yep.
I wasn't sure if perhaps there was anything that you wanted to add, Clark, that you think would be important to mention.
And no, that should be everything. But Taylor, don't hesitate to reach out. And we appreciate the interest, definitely.
Thanks again. Have a great afternoon.
All right. Thanks, Taylor. We really appreciate it.
Aware that Upper Valley Connecticut Hospital is marketing its services to townshippers, Robin Marie Coleman, who is the president and a joint chief executive officer of the Sus de l'Estrie Chute, the region's health authority, noted that despite the challenges that Quebec's public healthcare system has faced over the last couple of years, townshippers shouldn't feel the need to go to the United States for preventative and first-line care. She said that the situation further highlights the need to continue reorganizing and reinvesting in the public healthcare system to provide quality care, to avoid creating and contributing to a two-tiered healthcare system. Something that, according to Coleman, the Sus de l'Estrie Chute and the provincial government is working on. CIDI had the chance to chat with Robin Marie, and you can hear our conversation right here, right now on CIDI.
Robin Marie, I wanted to thank you so much for joining CIDI to chat with us. I really appreciate making yourself available.
It's my pleasure.
So, Robin Marie, we're here because there is a hospital in New Hampshire called Upper Valley Connecticut Hospital that is marketing and adapting its services for those Quebecers on the other side of the border, particularly townshippers. So when I spoke to the CEO of the hospital, he highlighted that we have top quality healthcare here in the Eastern Townships through the Sus de l'Estrie Chute, but he just wanted to make people aware of the options that they have available to them. I just wanted to start off by getting your perception on this a little bit. You know, despite having free healthcare here, do you think it's important for people to be aware of all the options that are available to them when it comes to their health, including what they are offering at Upper Valley Connecticut Hospital?
Well, thank you very much, Taylor. I believe that, first of all, maybe an important message for the population is that there isn't a need necessarily to go to the United States and pay or anywhere else for private care services. I think that the angle from what we captained from the different communications that were done was more an angle on increasing access to preventative care. I would say that probably Quebecers and townshippers are aware that it's been a little bit more difficult over the past few years. Like the pandemic was rough. There was a backlog in several services and care created, and the healthcare system had to reorganize itself for the past few years to respond to COVID needs and basically emergent care and surgeries. So perhaps during that time, the population might have got the perception that preventative or, you know, first-line care was less important in Quebec, but that's not the case. And I would say that the healthcare system is getting itself back on track. Waiting lists are reducing, and there's been really massive transformations and investments by the government of Quebec to increase accessibility. And as an organization, the CSLS is working extremely hard to be able to offer more readily preventative and first-line care and services.
Great. And yeah, that's like kind of like a great leeway into my next question. You're speaking about how people shouldn't feel the need to go there. And some have been saying that these types of situations almost create like a two-tiered healthcare system, not only in Quebec, but in Canada, which is a country that prides itself on providing free healthcare. I was wondering if you'd like to comment on this for our listeners. Do you see that potential impact here? From my understanding, there is a little bit of contention around private versus public healthcare here in Quebec.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think like it's something that we need to be proud of, the fact that we have a public healthcare system in Quebec that does create a divide, I would say, between those that can afford and can't afford health care and social services. I believe that the government is starting really since the pandemic. There was kind of an increase, while obviously I mentioned waiting lists are increasing because we had to focus for a certain period of time on more emergent care and COVID patients. But also during that time, while our population is getting older and many people, groups of populations became more vulnerable as well, either directly or indirectly related to the pandemic or the recession. So we're still feeling the aftermath of this in Quebec. So sometimes it's not easy for the population to realize all of the different advancements that have been done in order to try to increase preventative and first-line care. However, I believe that it's our job to make sure that we offer care and services in the best way possible in order to not contribute to creating that divide, because ultimately our role is to increase the health and social services of the population, and that, you know, access to health, quality health care should not be dependent on your capacity or not to pay for those services.
Well, that was actually my next question for you, was what do you think can be done to avoid having people go to the private route, whether that be at the federal, provincial, yeah, or regional health? But you kind of answered that, but I didn't know if you wanted to expand, yeah, on that further.
Well, maybe just a little bit more concretely, because there's different things that have been that I can remind people about that have been put into place over the past year. But obviously, our biggest issues right now are access to preventative and first-line cares for patients that don't have a family doctor. And I see that often that's the group that is a little bit marketed by the private care. And we've been working really hard over the past couple months to integrate a new service that will be coming this fall throughout all of our local healthcare networks for patients without a family doctor that need non-urgent care, or I would say the traditional routine exams, healthcare checkups, etc. That's been a little bit more difficult to get access to over the past year. We started the line, the 811 line that we call the GAP. Option 3 is specifically for patients without a family doctor. And right now the services that are offered through that line is majoritarily to offer services that are semi-urgent. You know, you don't want to go to the emergency room, but you know you have a healthcare situation that needs to be addressed rapidly. But as of the fall, we are going to, as human resources are available in all of our local networks, through that line, we want to start offering to the population the possibility to share healthcare concerns, to express different needs that they may have, and to choose the best option in order to respond to that without them having wait, or, you know, we've been very concentrated on, I would say, emergent and semi-urgent care, and not so much easily readily available up to this point for patients that, or people from the population that might just have a healthcare preoccupation, like something that's preoccupying them, but doesn't fall into one of those categories.
And I was wondering, you know, of course, you work in the health field. You work as the CSLS Fichu. So you see the important and significant role that the public healthcare system plays in the daily lives of Quebecers here. And I was just wondering maybe if you'd like to speak about that a little bit more and the impact that you've seen it have here in the region.
Well, for sure. I mean, like I said, it's hard sometimes to see because with all the increasing in needs, even though I would say the healthcare system is evolving and transforming, it seems like we're always just a step behind because things are going so quickly. And obviously the healthcare, the public healthcare system, one of the elements that I'd already mentioned, but that is crucial, is not contributing to create the divide. And maybe offering specific services that are different according to the needs of the population. So we, at one point, were always in, the majority, how do we treat the majority? And we're really working more closely now with each one of our local healthcare networks to see, are there specific needs in the community that need to be addressed in a particular way? So we know that we have a population that is getting older. We know that in that case, it's going to be important to offer services the closer possible to people. We're starting to think about innovative ways to do that with the challenges that we know we have of human resources. So how can we do things differently and make things easier for people? Mention also that we have a key in helping the population as well to understand what's pertinent. And I can give a key example of that. We were used to, in Quebec, a lot of people are used to having that annual routine exam with the family doctor and multiple labs, etc., that are done. But when we look at the latest healthcare guidelines, that is required generally only every 2 to 5 years for people aged over 40 that don't have specific healthcare issues. So at the same time, we want to increase services to people that really need it. We have to, I would say, contribute towards educating the population to what is pertinent so that they won't be fragile to the private sector who thinks they need something or is offering a service that is perhaps not scientifically demonstrated or pertinent or going to change their health, the healthcare in another, I would say, way. So being a university hospital, that is also part of our preoccupation, is to make sure that we contribute towards educating the population as well.
Great. Well, thank you so much for answering that question. Now, my last question for you, Robin Marie, was, you know, the last time that we spoke, we were, of course, speaking about the pressure that our hospitals are facing, and the CSLS Fichu had to close a number of beds. And there were service reductions for this summer due to people going on vacation, staff retention. So it certainly caused some concern around here. But I was just wondering, you know, despite this being the case, can you assure townshippers quality care if they need it?
Of course. Our teams, often some of those difficult decisions that we had to take about reducing accessibility to certain services, for example, in the summer period, to give vacation to employees, was done considering the fact that we want to have sufficient resources and quality, competent resources in order to offer quality care to the townshippers. Up to date, things have been going very, very well because we made those decisions at the right time. However, it's also, like I mentioned, we're going to need to transform massively the way that we offer care and services, and we're going to need the collaboration of the population to accept to receive services in a different way. And if we follow a little bit what's going on elsewhere in the world, well, we can't even imagine right now the way that things might do. Like, hospitalization is happening at home. There is rehabilitation services rather than being in a hospital are happening close as possible. And that's what our patients and population have generally been telling us that they want as well, and contributes towards the overall health of the population. So working closely with municipalities too, with the aging population and more vulnerable populations, everybody has a role to play. So I would, yeah, definitely like to reassure the townshippers that we're on board. Quality health care is our priority, but that also it might bring about certain changes according to the way that people are used to getting care and services. But change is sometimes a little unsettling, but usually brings about positive for everyone.
Great. Well, those are all the questions that I have for you, Rob and Mary, but I wasn't sure if there was anything else that you wanted to mention or bring up that I may not have touched on in my questions.
Well, I always, every time I get an opportunity to speak with you, just to thank all of I would say the members of our population for their collaboration and using in a pertinent way the health and care services that are available. Thank them for their patience at times, and also to thank all of our workers and admin and volunteers for their support in being able to offer quality services to townshippers.
Well, thank you so much again, Robin Maria. I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Townships Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.